So John didn't really ask me to teach anything specific. He just told me what series he was doing, teaching on Shalom, and everything that encompasses that, and actually opened up a few thoughts that I haven't thought about that before. And so I kind of pitched to him what I was talking about, and he says, don't change a thing. So I did change a thing. So we'll go from there. I don't know if you got his email, but he has a blog out right now talking about the Shalom of God. And it's a pretty good foundation. I'm getting a lot of feedback. All right, we're good. All right. It's a pretty good foundation for everything I'll be talking about and everything Joe talked about last week. And so I hope to build off of what you said as well as what Jonathan's saying. So these pieces of Shalom are of a wholeness, completeness, and peace is the most associated aspect of it. And it's of a restoration, personal contentment, and a welfare of being. So there's more to it than just the peace, happiness, and love that can be associated with most often. A few things I'm just going to pull out, probably like word for word, about three lines from what you said, just because I thought they were so good. He says, it is thought that the state of Shalom exists if God is present. God doesn't simply make peace or bring peace, rather He is peace. So where He is, peace is also. So we find peace through the presence of God, and that's the Shalom, rather than God just pouring out His little bottle of peace. He shows up with His presence to seal all situations that are out of chaos or worries or any imagined possible thing that He would need to tend to. It's like what he said last week, how it's the God of peace will be with you. Those things that we can do, think upon the things that are excellent. And the God of peace will actually show up. Not just rather His peace, but He will show up right there, right in front of us, in front of us, behind us, as I'm going to show you later, through the story of Exodus, how God showed up for the Israelites to give them peace when there was anxiety, when there was worry, when there was people complaining out of lack of anything else. Anything good they could have done, they chose to do those things, which are, usually are the backstops, the things we resort to do most often. When we just go with the flow, it seems like worrying, complaining are the things that come out of that. And it's always going to be a fight to maintain trust in God. And what I do speak to you today is not out of somebody who's mastered trust in God, who's mastered faith, but as someone who's struggling right alongside you, trying to learn faith, trying to learn how to be a follower of Jesus. He said we might break Shalom through anxiety or anxious thoughts. And this may be true, but as easily as it may be broken, which I don't think it's that easily broken, but it can be easily restored, this Shalom of God, through trust, through a mere walking with God, just doing our best with that. He says, John said, anxiety is the opposite of trust. It's very true. It's very hard to not make that sound like a condemning statement, because I say if you have anxiety, you're not trusting God. And that's not what I'm trying to say. I'm just saying that when we let anxious thoughts get in, it's going with the flow, which is against everything that God would have us do, because He just wants us to trust Him with everything, just the tough things to the little things that just we need to get through the day. So this trust, the simple trust, is it can be difficult, but it's also part of the peace of God that we will get through stilling our hearts, through stilling our minds, and just allowing Him to take control. Last week we were talking with John, and he mentioned something that I haven't really thought of before. He talked about the peace of God as a weapon, rather than something that's passive, or just the peace of God being like absence of conflict. He says the peace of God is something we can have in the midst of conflict to combat all the forces that are coming against us. And thinking about that, I thought about one story in Exodus that I'm going to come to right now that I really think it shows every part of that struggle through Moses and the Israelites and as they were about to cross the Red Sea. When it comes to conflict, I really enjoy the passage in Scripture that talks about letting God fight for us, or that God will go out before us and already win the battle before we even set foot on the battleground. Romans, Paul talks about, you know, God says vengeance is mine. You know, I love that because that means I don't have to do the fighting or get the revenge. And as Joshua was going into the promised land for his conquest, you know, God told him, just relax, I'm going to go before you. Don't worry, I'm going to take care of everything. I'm going to wipe out these people before you even touch them. I like those verses, those passages. And I grew up in a church where it was quite opposite. It's like if you were walking here, you would see these shields on the walls. It was real shields that I actually helped make because we were the carpenters of the church. And so these shields, and we made these swords that were, you know, crossed on there. We made these battle axes. And it was a warfare church. If, you know, any random person walked in there, they, you know, probably think they're in medieval times or something. But it was a good experience, you know, understanding, you know, the fight. But I think sometimes we can make the fight too much of our own. You know, I've seen so many casualties, needless casualties of spiritual warfare, where you try to take on too much of the fight of your own. You know, there is a level of participation with the fight, but when you try to make it too much of your own, nothing good will come out of that. And, you know, I've seen too many people fall by the wayside. I've seen a church split because of that. And I don't ever want to be, you know, part of that again. You know, I see God as the ultimate warrior. Oh, but you know, he can come against anything. There is nothing that is above God, and if we're gonna let Him fight, it's a guaranteed victory, regardless of how that victory will come to terms. He will always have the victory, and I have complete trust that I cannot fight any better than He can. So I think there's a direct relationship between God fighting and me stilling my heart and trusting Him. And without those two things go hand in hand. I don't think God will fight unless we release the battle to Him. You know, there's always this level of trust that He's going to want to seek out, you know, where He'll act once we stop trying to act on our own whims and our own anxieties. When we finally give up, is when He shows up. You know, that's happened one too many times in my life for me not to say that tonight. I'm going to open up to Exodus 13 right now. I read a few things from here. Yeah. So at this point, the Israelites have already left Egypt. The plagues have already happened. And Moses is leading them on the way out to the promised land. But they're not going the way of the Philistines because they're not ready for war yet. So he's leading them to the sea first. And with verse 21, chapter 13. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them among the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, and they might travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people. And so I see these pillars of clouds as the presence of God. It was leading them and it was pushing them. It was always with them day and night. They had the visible, you know, presence of God with them. And so I can imagine myself, you know, seeing this pillar of cloud leading me, and I think everything's going to be all right. But, you know, that wasn't the case. And reading this, it's really easy to judge the Israelites, to think that I'm better than them. Like, oh, if I saw that, I would have trusted God completely. But I think all too often we find ourselves not trusting God, even with His Holy Spirit present within us. You know, it's really easy to go with the flow and fall into anxiety and fear. And, I want to point out there that God did not depart from before the people. He was always with them. And skip down to chapter 14, verse 10. It says, when Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. They took their eyes off the pillar of cloud, and they put their eyes upon their circumstances, and they began to worry. You know, God had already delivered them, you know, out of Egypt, and they've seen this great miracle of the Exodus and the Passover, and yet they begin to worry, they begin to go with the flow, they begin to, you know, complain, and you'll see how they complain right now. They said to Moses, Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. Now, this is the ESV, and the NIV says, the Lord will fight for you, you have only to be still. So it can be still or silent. Both those translations show that God will fight once we still our hearts, once we quiet our minds, once we stop complaining, once we trust Him and allow Him to do everything for us. It's kind of funny how Moses says this, and yet the next verse, the Lord said to Moses, why you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Moses just gives this great encouragement, and then all of a sudden, I guess behind the scenes, he's already crying to God. So while it's easy for me to be an encourager to you, I myself will still experience anxieties. While Moses was the encourager to the Israelites, he still experienced anxieties. So it's inevitable that we will go through worry and fear. But from the words of Moses, we know that we need to fear not. It would all work out. Just be silent, be still. Like that movie. verse 16, God still found Moses. Lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground. And then from there it talks about how God hardened Pharaoh's heart, and picking up with 19. Then the angel of God, who was going before the host of Israel, moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved before them and stood behind them, coming between the host of Egypt and the host of Israel. And there was a cloud in the darkness, and it lit up the night without one coming near the other all night. So this pillar was leading them, was in front of them, leading them, showing them where to go. And then, these anxieties, the worries, they complain to Moses, and then God encourages. And then God goes behind them to protect them from, Egypt coming by. So we see God's presence in front of us and in back of us, with what the situation needs at the time. So God's presence will be around each one of us, in front of us and behind of us, protecting us and leading us at the same time. And for all this to happen, all we have to do is be silent and still our hearts. That's where this peace of God becomes a weapon, where we allow God to fight for us. Where in the midst of trouble, we give up trying to do it on our own. We allow God to be the warrior on this one. And 21, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove back the sea by a strong east wind all night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, the waters being a wall to them on the right hand and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went in after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And in the morning watched the Lord in a pillar of fire and of cloud looked down on the Egyptian forces and threw the Egyptian forces into a panic, clogging their chariots' wheels so that they drove heavily. And the Egyptians said, let us flee from Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. And that's the testimony right there from the Egyptians, that there's a witness that God is with them because of what they did. That's where it became the weapon, that the enemy started fleeing because God was doing the fighting. And there was nothing the Israelites could do that could have made the Egyptians run back. This was all the work of God and the hand of God in this. And, I need that. I need to know that, it's God doing the fighting. Because if it was just me up against life, or me up against, the enemy, there was nothing I could do on my own to scare him away. And I just want to show so much that we do not need to do all the fight. If anything, we need to do 1%, and that 1% is just trusting God, and 99% is God doing the work, paving the way, in due time. Because it took time from them to cross the river. It happened overnight, because it talks about, in the morning washes when the water's closed up. In the movie, it looks like 10 minutes that they crossed over the water. But this was all night long that they had to, you know, pursue, keep trusting God that these waters wouldn't fall down. How scary is it to walk through these waters all around you? And, okay, I'm still trusting that you're just going to hold back these waters, you know. And it will take time to go through all these circumstances. They will clear. But the battle is His. And sometimes it's long fought. And it won't be overnight. With Angie right now, this battle wasn't going to be an overnight healing. It's sometimes God's purposes, most of the time God's purposes are unknown to us. And what He is doing with that family right now is not known to us. So, you know, we just trust God. That's how we fight. We trust God that He's in control and pray in agreement with what He is doing, what His will is. And with everything else, right now I have difficulty at work. There's bad, you know, cash flow because of a few large jobs that kind of plugged up the cash flow. And, you know, I have worries, anxieties, but how to combat that is just to trust God and say, you know, I just trust that you'll have my payroll ready for next week. And it's been happening, but it's been long fought. It's been a month and a half of that. You know, that's probably short compared to, you know, what everybody else has been going through. And Mitch, I mean, you're my hero. You know, your battle has been long fought. You know, walking through these waters wasn't overnight. You said it was 4 months you didn't have a vehicle. And I didn't see you complain about it once. You know, you just trusted God. And at 4 months, you were walking through the waters for 4 months until God delivered you to have a vehicle. So I'm saying the time it takes from when we start the battle to the victory is unknown to us. And we can start worrying and have anxiety about while we're in that battle, that will God ever deliver me? Will He ever come through? You know, that's when we start to take the battle upon ourselves, and that's when the enemy wins. But I just want to encourage you to let God be God, and let us be followers of Him, be trusters with our little bit of faith, which is all it takes to follow Him, and just to enter into this peace, this trust, this shalom, this wholeness, and that's about all I got there. Let me encourage you the way Moses encouraged. To everybody here, fear not. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will work for you today or tomorrow or the next day. For the trials you face now will soon be gone, and the salvation of the Lord will be upon you. Lord, I pray that every person here, Lord, will have their faith increase just a little bit, Lord, to get through the day, through the week, and through the trials and tribulations that are part of life. Lord, let Your Spirit be in front of them and behind them, surrounding them completely, both leading and pushing them into the direction of a victory, which we know will happen. I thank You, Lord, that Your hand will be upon each person here and every person they have an influence upon. I thank You, Lord, for the cross that You've given us, Lord. For the victory You have already had, and the victory we have, Lord, that we will be alive with You in the resurrection. I thank You, Lord, I just thank You, Lord. I just give You thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
There are three things that came to my mind. One, I was just thinking about Rob Bell's Velvet Elvis, and how he told him that story, how he started out with this church plant teaching out of Leviticus. And then and when you said you were going to Exodus, I kind of had that same thought in my mind. I'm like, where's he going with that? And so, but it's an outstanding point. It really kind of spoke to me. There's a second thing that came about the image of the waters parting, in that there really were two problems facing the Israelites. The army coming behind them and the river that stood before them, you know, and how God dealt with probably the thing that seemed the most impassable, you know. I think eventually there was a temptation to turn and fight, you know. But we could make our ground. But getting into the waters really was the point of greater impossibility. You know we can't go that way. So I'm assuming the leaders probably thought, well, we could make our stand here. And how that was the way that God made, you know. And then the third thing that came to my mind when I was talking about breaking the shalom, I meant you know, Paul talks about resisting evil which is a good point you made. I'm going to have to clarify that. That in our resistance, that's kind of how this thing is brought, you know, that we have to make a purposeful act. And you're right, it's much easier just to God than it's the panic.